In today's passage from John, we find one of the most familiar verses in the Bible, one which is often displayed on bumper stickers, t-shirts, banners, and even at sporting events. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is one of the first verses many learn in Sunday school, and one that adults find easy to recite and to live by. For many, it is the very foundation of our faith, which invites us into a relationship with a God who has offered the ultimate sacrifice so that we each might believe. With that said, I think we all might agree that John 3:16 is a wonderful verse to reflect upon because it invites us into the very breadth and depth of God's love. This passage shares with us the fact that the world that God loves is not simply offered to one particular group of people. The world that God loves is not confined to one designated nation or race, but covers all that God has created and constantly beckons us to reciprocate through acts of kindness, acts of care, respect for every nation, every tribe, every language, every person. The beauty which engulfs our gospel message today can also be difficult for some to hear as well as practice. And it may sometimes even become a troubling deal maker of the Christian faith. These words from John begin so beautifully and present an allusion to the extraordinary and embracing care of the Creator. It generates a divine spirit and comfort for the world, while offering a clear awareness of what and who is most precious in the eyes of God. This passage can also become a rallying cry for establishing a belief system based upon acceptance or rejection, based upon insider or outsider, and may often present a yet simplistic proof to others of the hows and whys of who will perish and who will have eternal life. It would be hard to overestimate the damage caused by the misuse of John 3:16. Christian crusades against Muslims of the Middle Ages were based on the belief that Muslims were a threat to believing in Christ. The Holocaust toward Jews was nurtured by the notion that Jews were a threat to believing in the Son. But I am certain for those who hear these words today, we are intentional in experiencing the scriptures in more inclusive ways, which daily allow light to break through our sometimes dim and limited spaces. And as light penetrates the corners and crevices of our lives, we then begin to embrace the type of world that God so loves, and we grow to accept and appreciate the faithfulness of others who may have different practices and theologies in which they enter into God's realm. And as we acknowledge that their ways are as true for them as our ways are true for us, it is then that we too can begin to love and accept the world that God loves. Quite often I sit in my office and I look out my window. There is always a lot of activity within and around our cathedral. And as I often walk this campus, I whisper to God silently, I love this church. I love my faith community. I love the guests who enter during lunch and attend chapel. I love our guests who seek refuge here. I love the foot traffic between the Diocesan Center, the Cathedral, and the Hines Center. This often busy space is full of life whirling around and with within our walls. Yes, it is often noisy, sometimes messy and breathless. It is often full of celebrations, of laughter, of sorrows, of tears. It is often filled with the angelic voices of the choir and even the clamoring of the sextons. And within my heart of hearts, I know without a doubt that this space clearly represents the living, breathing example of the type of world God loves. Because its activity is a mixture of love and fear, of joy and pain, and of the varied seasons of our souls. There are some moments in which I am offered a gift to catch a glimpse that simply takes my breath away. Or I am invited into a holy space which nurtures my spirit and renews my faith. These God moments invite me to either participate or observe, and with either choice, I feel richly blessed to share this faith journey with each of you. This journey which calls us out and into the world into which God so loves, into the world God deems worth saving. Now, this call is not to be confused with the world of our own imagination, our nostalgia, or the world of our own personal longing. But it is a call into a world which is often in all of its awesomeness and ugliness, its grace and grime, its virtue and violence, a presence which daily confronts and beckons us to see and imagine the world as God sees it, and to ask ourselves in earnest, can we too love the world as God loves it? Can we love this type of world, which at times may seem only lovable by God? The beauty of God's gift of choice is that we each individually or collectively can walk into the fray of life head on or hide from it. We can choose to love creation as God does or destroy it with many slow deaths at a time. Despite our fears and weariness, it is within our common lives together that we can name the shadows and step out of them as we embrace the type of world that God loves. And may we be reminded as we continue our sojourn that we often bring our own personal luggage and baggage into our work of love and care of one another. We each may carry something that is not representative of God's grace and love. Yet, it is representative of the very type of world that God loves. Before we ever set out to find God, we are found. Before we seek to understand, we are understood. Before we can make any gesture to love one another, we are loved completely, passionately, unfailingly. Regardless of the current state of our world, regardless of failures, disagreements, or mistakes, God still today calls us into love. The world can definitely reveal the worst of its humanity. And quite often, we may feel that some parts of creation are not worthy to save or may not be worthy of God's love. But in Christ, we are called to experience a redeeming love, which is really not about the greatness of the world, but simply about the greatness of God. As we continue our work together, may we be reminded that we only need to look toward God to understand the undying love we are to share among one another. Regardless of what life throws our way or what we might throw in the lives of others, there is nothing we can do to cause God to love us any less than he does right this very moment. Before God formed the world and hung the stars, before God created living things, before we were conceived in our mother's womb, God loved us. Today, may we each be encouraged from the depths of the heart of God to the depths of our very soul. If we are living and breathing, if we are making mistakes, then we qualify for God's everlasting love. There is a poem written by Jane Kenyon, who died at the age of 45 from leukemia. She only wrote 3 poetry books, and I love all of her poems, but this one in particular is one of my favorites. And for me, it sums up John's gospel message of the world God loves, the world God deems worth saving. Through all of her poetry, Jane teaches us how to live and love in a world that is both imperfect and beautiful. The poem is entitled, "Briefly It Enters and Briefly Speaks." I am the blossom pressed in a book, found again after 200 years. I am the maker, the lover, and the keeper. When the young girl who starves sits down to a table, she will sit beside me. I am food on the prisoner's plate. I am water rushing to the wellhead, filling the pitcher until it spills. I am the patient gardener of the dry and weedy garden. I am the stone step, the latch, and the working hinge. I am the heart contracted by joy, the longest hair white before the rest. I am there in the basket of fruit presented to the widow. I am the musk rose opening unattended, the fern on the boggy summit. I am the one whose love overcomes you, already with you when you think to call my very name. Amen.